Justification, or being declared righteous, is just the beginning of salvation. Paul had gained Christ and his righteousness, and now his focus was knowing the God who now he could have a relationship with because his sins were no longer in the way. When sin is taken care of, we can now walk with the living God.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, what's there for us to learn from this portion of Scripture?
Now, Dave, I know this message will be a tremendous blessing to our listeners as we look at another mark of a true believer. And indeed, today we're going to see the direct result of saving faith is a genuine yearning to know one's Savior better. So with that in mind, let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
As to righteousness which is found in the law, blameless. He thought he was right before God. He was sincerely and zealously wrong. He wrongly believed that by the works of the law in the Word that he could be righteous, that he could meet the righteous standards that God demands upon his creation. But notice in the middle of verse 9, but we have this phrase here. We have a life and death contrast. A contrast between man's righteousness, which cannot save and brings death, with a righteousness that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ, which alone can bring salvation. Thus, clearly, we have a summary of the process, as we'll see, is what's called justification. He says, I'm not going to be found having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, law keeping, but that which is what? Through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. What a tremendous statement. Tremendous statement. You see, we are all unrighteous. We are unrighteous. And God demands righteousness. He demands righteousness. And the Bible says clearly that there are none righteous, not even one. In God's sight, none of us are righteous within ourselves. That by the works of the law, no flesh will be declared righteous or justified, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. You may be able to keep the externals, and maybe from people looking at the outside, but on the inside, I'm sure you've got idols, I'm sure you've coveted, I'm sure those things are there. The law reveals our sin. You see, man's problem is pride, it's sin, religious or irreligious. You see, the irreligious man believes in his pride he can get away with sin. The religious man believes that what he does will cover that sin. It's both pride. It's both wrong. And this pride is manifest on the religious side in all kinds of religiosity, which we would call works salvation. But Paul said clearly here, he counted his works, this righteousness as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, those righteous works, so that he would gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, not having one that's from me and not from God. Where's your righteousness come from? Does it come from what you do or what you think or what you've done or the things that you think make you right? Or does it come from God? A righteous God who gives his righteousness to us through faith in his Son Jesus Christ, the righteous. You see, Paul saw his righteousness literally as that's what he did before, just as worthless, worthless refuse. Isaiah makes it clear that all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. It's only when we encounter the Son of God through the Word of God, the Gospel, we recognize the filth of our self-righteousness, self-determination, and self-focus, and cry out to God to save us in Christ. When we place our faith in Jesus, God who took on human flesh, who died for our sins and rose from the dead, that we put our faith in Him because He brought about the forgiveness of sins through His death, We are declared by God righteous. We have righteousness through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. The price is paid by Jesus. So God says you're righteous when you are in Christ, my son. We are declared to be right with God. Tremendous reality. This is what Paul shares in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, to be sin on our behalf. He bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Paul realized the only way he wanted to be found was in Christ, with a righteousness that he gained through faith in Christ. So we have an amazing statement in verse 9 that shows how God gives his very righteousness to us. The means is by faith in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 9 again. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Faith in the Messiah, the Son of God who took on our sins, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. Trusting in Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved from your sin. You believe he died. He paid the penalty. Lord Jesus, save me. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord be saved. And you will receive his righteousness. His righteousness. Through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Nothing you do. It's what he did. And by trusting in him, you receive his righteousness. It's through faith you receive righteousness. But remember, the object of your faith matters. It's not through the Catholic faith you receive righteousness. It's not through the Protestant faith you receive righteousness. It is through faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Believing who he is and his work on the cross, that he died for your sins. And when you trust in Christ Jesus, God declares you to have his righteousness because the price is paid. We are united with him. We receive his righteousness. Again, man is unrighteous. The wages of sin is death. There are none righteous, not even one. But when you trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, when you are redeemed, the penalty has been paid and God declares us to be righteous. It's found in Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you this. Are you a saint? Are you righteous because of Jesus? See, the only way to do so is to believe you're a sinner first and to turn to Jesus Christ and trust in him. Lord Jesus, save me, and he will save you. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So there, I believe, we have a concise explanation of one element of salvation, justification. The gaining of righteousness of Christ through faith in Christ in the context of rejection of one's sin. In Paul's case, his own filthy, self-righteous deeds. He says that he would be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes on the basis of faith. There are some of you here today, maybe, that see your own works, your deeds, as what makes you right before God. All that are filthy rags. But Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin in your place. And if you trust in Christ the righteous, his righteousness will be accredited to your account. Your sins will be forgiven and you will receive his righteousness. When the time of judgment comes, when you die, when you stand before the Lord, will you be found in Christ in his righteousness or found in something else? If you were to die today, what will you be found in by God? Will you be in Christ? Or will he say, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. You're still in your sins. What will you be found in? You can play games with people, but you can't play games with God. When you stand before him, he will righteously judge. Will you be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of your own, but a righteousness that comes by faith in him? Will you be found in Christ? I pray you will. So then, the Apostle Paul counted all his loss in order to gain Christ and his righteousness, to gain Christ and his righteousness. That's the beginning of salvation. Well, what direction does a believer go from this point when one gains Christ and is righteous? Which direction do we go? What do we see in Paul's testimony here? I believe we're going to see Paul's ultimate goal after being saved was he had a deep desire to know Christ, to have an intimate, relational, practical knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the direction we should go. And then we often get distracted or detoured. I often talk about how we can get distracted. If you ever watch us walking our dog, they're walking when we all of a sudden get distracted. Everything around, right? We can get distracted. Get our eyes pulled off of why God saved us and where He is taking us. What we should be pressing on towards. We get distracted. We forget. The Apostle Paul's testimony, inspired by the Spirit, should remind us and redirect our hearts. Let's go back to verse 8, and I want to read up through our portion here again. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Look at verse 10. That, here's the direction we go. That, having His righteousness, gaining Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That's the direction we go. That's the direction Paul went. And he'll say later on, I haven't made it yet, but I press forward towards that goal. I press forward. This is a testimony of a true believer. This is where we should be, brothers and sisters. Notice he continues again. It's all about Christ. Verse 10, that I may know Him. Justification or being declared righteous is just the beginning of salvation. Paul had gained Christ and His righteousness, and now his focus was knowing the God who now he could have a relationship with because his sins were no longer in the way. You see, when sin is taken care of, we can now walk with the living God. We can grow with the living God in relationship to Him. Remember, Paul in this context is giving his testimony as a true believer in light of false brothers. Remember that. That's the context here. This is a testimony of a true believer, brothers and sisters. So where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? That I may know Him. One pastor writes, some people may get the impression that being saved by faith means there's no motivation for conduct or works. They think if a person is saved by grace, it means he just sits around and twiddles his thumbs. Nothing could be further from the truth. Saving faith is a faith that moves you. If you've been saved by faith, you have a new motivation, a new life purpose, a new lifestyle. If your faith in Christ hasn't changed you, you haven't been saved. He says you're still the same old person producing the same old life. Paul dissipates any notion that being saved by faith means you can sit around in a rocking chair and rock yourself all the way to heaven. It's basically saying you're going to be changed. The Apostle Paul's testimony was gaining Christ and then knowing Him, as we'll see. It's all about a desire to know Him, that I may know Him. Remember Paul said earlier, he counted all things as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Eternal life is based on knowing God, a relationship with the living God. When we are saved, we come into a relationship with Christ, but we don't really know Him that well. It's the start of an eternal relationship with the living God. Our justification allows us to relate and know a holy God. It opens that door to that relationship. But it is as we are sanctified, our intimate relational knowledge of Christ increases. This might bring some of you to ask, how is it that we can know Christ better? Well, how did you come to know Him in the first place? How did you come to know Jesus in the first place? It was through hearing the Word and thus believing concerning Christ. Let me share some passages. Ephesians chapter 1, 13. In Him, you also, and in Him is Christ, by the way, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You heard the Word, and you believed it. Romans chapter 10, 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of Christ. We walk by faith, as we'll see. 1 Peter chapter 1, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. We came into our relationship with God through God declaring the truth concerning us and His Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior. We learned about Him through the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and abiding word of God. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. As the Apostle Paul would share to the Colossians, as therefore you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. How did we receive Christ? We believed the truth that God had revealed about himself in Scripture, and we called upon him in a personal way based on that truth. We related to him based on the truth of the Word of God. And that's how we grow in respect to salvation. That's how we grow in our relationship with Christ. John 17:17, Jesus prays, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. True conversion should lead to a desire to know him. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word that you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. True believers, like a baby that is born, have a desire for food, for milk, that they would grow. And like that, we should have a desire for the pure milk of the word, that we would grow in our relationship with him in respect to salvation. Salvation is about knowing Christ intimately and relationally. And Peter makes it clear how we grow in our salvation in that portion I just read. We also see this in 2 Peter, as I've mentioned before. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's what's important. A relational knowledge of him. Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through what? The true knowledge of him. When we walk with Christ, we rely on him, we abide in him, we walk with him, letting his word work in our hearts. He enables us for everything we need, right? And he says here, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, for by these he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. You might be like Christ, not be Christ, but like him. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. If you've truly been saved, then you will have a desire to know Christ when sin is not in the way. When sin gets in the way, that desire goes out the window. I'll tell you that right now. You'll have a desire for his word. When babies are born, they desire milk. When we were born again, we should desire the word of God. And if you don't, maybe you don't know him. Or sin has gotten in the way. Remember, this is Paul's testimony in comparison to false brethren. A true believer wants to know Christ. And if you've never had that desire, maybe you've never tasted the kindness of the Lord, but you can. You can taste his kindness by trusting in Jesus Christ and believe that can happen today. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a desire to know Christ? What direction did the heart of Paul take after conversion? He desired to know him. He desired to know him. This should be our focus. If not, there's two things we need to do. One, examine yourself to see if you're saved. Two, check to see if maybe you've been hardened by sin. And just confess and be forgiven right away and praise him for who he is and what he's done. Well, now at this point, notice there's two related areas to knowing Christ. Two related areas that he shares. Verse 10, that I may know him. And then notice this first one. And the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and his resurrection power. You see, the resurrection proves that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. Romans chapter 1 says his son was declared by the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection best illustrates the surpassing greatness of his power. Remember, Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days. It reveals his power. The resurrection proves that Christ had power over death, sin, Satan and his cohorts, and the physical and spiritual worlds. He defeated death. He defeated Satan. He defeated sin. He resurrected from the dead. He rose from the dead. And Paul says that I would know his resurrection power. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever desired to know the resurrection power of Christ? Now, that needs to be qualified, because we in our sinfulness might want to use power for our own will. Right? His resurrection power was not for his own will, not my will, but thy will be done, to die for our sins and rise from the dead. Now, this type of knowledge, is it out of reach for the believer to know his resurrection power? Is it out of reach for you and I? No. Indeed, Paul prayed this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. He prayed that these Ephesians would know his resurrection power. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith of the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for the saints, say you're true believers, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's, you could say, spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that you'll know him better. You'll have spiritual wisdom and revelation in that. And notice what he says after this. He says here, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now, some have a note in there. New King James, I believe, translates it better. You could translate it this way. Having had the eyes of your heart enlightened. Since this has happened, since you see now, he says, so that you may know three things. What is the hope of his calling? What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? You'd know that, brothers and sisters. And then look at the last one here. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? And he's going to go on to say this is resurrection power. He wants us to know the surpassing greatness of his power towards us for becoming like Christ, by the way, as we'll see. The power that comes from God to make us like him. And notice what he says here. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, resurrection power, and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, that I may know the power of his resurrection. Resurrection power in Christ. I want to know his power in my life. I want to see him work powerfully in my life to make me more like his son. I want to see that. And then notice, to go with that, he also talks about the fellowship of his sufferings. You see, the resurrection power that rose Christ enables us to have victory over sin, death, Satan, and the world. It enables us to have victory. It's only by Christ that you can do anything. Apart from him, you could do nothing. But when his resurrection power is manifest in us as we trust him, we have victory over sin and Satan and death, obviously.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, you gave us a lot of important information about this passage of Scripture, and in our next broadcast, you'll continue to develop it. But today, what can we take away from this teaching?
Dave, the takeaway is simply this. If you've truly been saved, you should have a desire to know your Savior more and more and more. And the only thing that gets in the way of that is sin. So if you don't have that desire, confess any sin that's in the way and seek to know our wonderful, glorious Lord Jesus Christ, who has revealed himself in the Word. And if you don't have that desire, maybe you don't know him. Trust in the Lord for salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then you will have the opportunity to know him more and more as you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.